And they followed those instructions, and he entered the city to the acclaim of a multitude of people who spoke, as it says in verse 38, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." And we tried this morning to look at just what it means to us to acknowledge that Jesus is our King, and what that will bring about in our own personal commitment, what that will bring about in our own personal faithfulness, what it would bring about in our own personal service to Jesus when we recognize that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to ask you tonight to go back with me to that same passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 19, and I want to look at a very practical lesson laid out for us in the instructions that were given to the two disciples and to what they did. Now, as we read about them, we're not told which two it was. There's no names associated with this event. But I want you to listen to the reading of this word, and especially this first part of it. And I want you to hear it tonight as if your name was in the place of the names of those disciples. You think about it as if you were one of those to whom Jesus spoke as He gave the instructions. Read with me, please, in Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28. "And when He had thus spoken, He went up before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when He was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? You shall say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found, even as He had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said unto him, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as He went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when He was come nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. This reads verses 28 through 40 of Luke chapter 19. Join with me in prayer as we go to the throne of grace, please. Father, we thank You that we have again the opportunity to read Your word. All Scripture is given by Your direct inspiration. And all of it is profitable for us, profitable for our teaching, what we're to be taught. It's profitable for our instruction in righteousness. It's profitable for our rebuke and correction. It's profitable that we would be thoroughly furnished to all good works. Lord, as we read this passage tonight, it's a record, a true record of the events in the life of Your blessed Son on that particular day as He entered Jerusalem to the acclaim of the multitude. But Lord, I beg tonight that You would help us to understand that as your disciples and as those who follow you, Lord, tonight that we would learn from the things that were said to and done by those two disciples who obeyed you. I pray, Father, tonight you would help me to be able to speak clearly. You would help us to be able to understand the importance of this lesson. Affect our lives for your glory, Lord. Change our minds, change our attitudes, change our actions as we need to be fashioned in obedience to you. Lead us in repentance. Give us strength of faith. Help us to know your will. I beg it in Jesus' name and amen. It's indeed a marvelous scene when we think about the great multitude that had gathered there around and on the road leading up to Jerusalem as people from all over the land of Israel, from all of God's peoples around that land came to Jerusalem at that particular time of the day of Pentecost, the day of Passover, I'm sorry, getting the P's crossed up, the day of Passover. Passover was one of the three times of the year when all of the men of Jerusalem were to come up. They were to leave their homes. Sometimes their families came. Perhaps there were times when they did not. But the men were to come. And there was thus a great ingathering in the city going up that main highway up the side of Mount Zion. And as Jesus was coming near to the city, there was a growing swell of acclaim and a majestic sight of the King as people recognized him and spoke those things that blessed his name. They didn't add a blessing to him, but they gave him the praise and the adoration for what he had done and what they had seen that he had done. While we think of this great tumultuous scene, I want to ask you to think tonight about the very quiet situation of two individuals who were sent on a task. And I have an idea that from a human standpoint, they probably had some uneasiness about entering in on that task. You see, Jesus said, I want you to go over into this village. And when you go into the village, into the area of the town proper, you'll find a colt tied up there. It's a young colt. He hasn't been broken. There's no man that's ever ridden on him. I want you to untie him and bring him. Now, if anybody asks you, you just tell him that I have need of him. And I can feel in myself as I... Have you ever approached a task that you knew you needed to do, but you just had some uncertainty about it? How was it going to get started? How was it going to work? Well, that's kind of the way I see these two disciples as they approached this village. Jesus said, you go find the animal, untie the animal, and bring the animal to me. And if anybody questions you as to why you're doing it, you just say, the Lord hath need of him. And that's all the explanation they were given. But you'll notice there were no but what ifs. Jesus said, you just tell them what I said. And so they went, and as they entered in, sure enough, they found the animal straightway. They didn't have to look very hard. And they began to untie it, and sure enough, the owner of it came to say, why are you untying the animal? What I want you to see tonight is the lesson of faith and obedience that this ought to give to us in our service of Christ today in His church. Jesus was the King. Prior to this time, Matthew tells us that Peter had already made that profession of faith when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And some say, well, you're Jeremiah, some Elijah, some others of the prophets, some John the Baptist come back from the dead. But who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed Messiah. Thou art the anointed King. You're the one who was going to come to reign on the throne of David forever and ever. There was in that profession a recognition of him as a king before they ever got to the point where all the people began to give him acclaim. And so when they went to do the bidding of the king. Now, I've heard people say, well, Jesus did this. He knew where this animal was, and he did this marvelous mind-reading thing in them. And it was just a great miracle that he did to get that animal. Then I've heard people say, oh, he must have had arrangements. You know something? It really doesn't matter. When we begin to focus on things that the Scriptures do not call our attention to, we lose sight of the real message. First of all, Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is omniscient. Jesus knew where the animal was. Yeah. But he might also have very well made arrangements with the owner of that animal beforehand. Not out of the question. But the one thing was, Jesus told them, you go, this is what you do, and this is what you say, and you leave the rest of it to me. Now, those words are not in there, but that's the implication. You go find the animal, you bring me the animal, and you tell them what I'm telling you to say. You see, the real issue is that the disciples did what Jesus told them to do. And they believed that what Jesus told them to say would be sufficient. Now you think about that. Here's a man who has an animal tied up out there. Here's a man who has an investment in this young animal. It's not very old. It hasn't been trained yet. It hasn't been broken to work yet. And nobody's ever ridden on it. And somebody shows up and going to take it off. Do you think one sentence is going to... If you were to do that today, do you think one small sentence would be enough to satisfy most people's curiosity of, why are you doing that? But you see, the real issue was they believed that what Jesus told them was enough. Now, what arrangements Jesus might have made, what other patterns may have gone on beforehand, we're not told any of that. But what we are told is that these two men were given instruction from the Lord, you go do this. And you tell them this. And when the time came, they told them what the Lord said to say. And the very fact that they were able to take the animal to Jesus is indication to us that the owner of that animal let go of it, surrendered it to them to take it to Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, I want you to see with me, first of all, tonight, Jesus sent them to get that animal because Jesus had a plan. Jesus had a purpose. He said, you tell them the Lord hath need of him. Now, Jesus didn't have a need of him because he wasn't strong enough to walk into Jerusalem. He'd already done it many times. He didn't say the Lord hath need of him because I can't do it without it. He could have gotten any other animal. The fact of the matter is, he had a plan, and that plan involved that animal, but it also involved the obedience of those disciples who, before they watched the acclaim of the people, they witnessed the power of the Word of God with one man about one animal in one small town. You go tell them the Lord hath need of them. Have you ever put yourself in that place, folks? Look with me in Revelation chapter 4. I've read this passage in your hearing before, and you'll probably hear me read it many times again. But I want you to notice with me Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, you can also read in that word for thy purpose, they are and were created. Everything that was created wasn't just a power trip that God had that he said, oh, let me see if I can do this. Well, that worked pretty good. Let me try something else. Well, what about this? You see, God knew exactly what he was going to do with his creation in each step that what he did. He created all things for his pleasure, for his purpose. That donkey was one of them. That animal was one of the things that he had created for his purpose, for his pleasure. But folks, do you understand that in the same way that he had created that animal, he created you? That he created you for his purpose? The Lord had need of him. It wasn't that the Lord was begging. It was that the Lord had reason to use him, to use that animal. You see, you're like that animal in that God, first of all, he knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. He said to Jeremiah in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, he said, before you were conceived, I knew you. I purposed you to be a prophet to the nations before you were ever born. He had a need of Jeremiah. It wasn't that he couldn't do his job without Jeremiah. It was that he had Jeremiah to do a certain part of that work that nobody but Jeremiah was going to be able to do. You see, God created you to be a vessel in his service. And when he calls you, he said, I have need of you. Not that he couldn't do it without you. Not that he was helpless without you. I've heard people preach, Jesus has done everything he can, and without you, he can't do anything else. That's not the point of the lesson. The lesson is this one who created all things for his plan and his purpose said, I've got a reason for you. Come unto me. You see, the first question is, are we willing to submit ourselves to the call of the King? Well, he called me and he saved me. Yep, but he called you for a purpose. Are you willing to submit yourself to his work, to the purpose for which he called you? You rejoice in his call to salvation. You rejoice in his redemptive blood. You rejoice in the hope that we have of life eternal. What a day it's going to be when we gather in heaven with him. We rejoice in that hope, but we also have a joy in that God has called us. He didn't just save us and then drop us out there in the ocean somewhere and said, sink or swim. You see, he calls us for a purpose. Now, I would ask you today, tonight, brothers and sisters, when you feel God's call and direction upon your life, do you surrender yourself in obedience to that direction? Go tell that the owner, or go tell whoever asks you this sentence, the Lord hath need of him. Six words. No debate, no if, ands, buts, and maybes. Just go tell them what I said. These men went believing that the word of God in Jesus Christ was sufficient for what the Lord sent it to do. They weren't going to need a debate team. They weren't going to need a script. They weren't going to need options. They believed that the message that Jesus sent them to carry was sufficient. They had faith in the word of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I want to ask you tonight, in our place, in the life of his church, do we believe that the message which he gives to us to carry is sufficient to accomplish what he sends us to do? Go with me into the book of Isaiah just a minute. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. God says through the prophet in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see the very statement in there, in the word, the things that Jesus give us to say as his messengers, the words that he gives us to carry as our witness of him as we go out into the world where he sends us. The things that he's given. Well, I don't know that I would do it that way. That's the whole point. His ways are higher than our ways. He's wiser than we are. His words are greater than our words. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The rain is falling outside right now. As it comes down, it waters the earth and it evaporates and goes by. But in its process, it does exactly what God sends it to do. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Beloved, I'll tell you, we as God's children in his church need to get to the place where those disciples were, that we understand that the word of Jesus that he gives us to take, the message he gives us to carry, the instruction he gives us to proclaim, the forgiveness he tells us to declare, all of those things, exactly his message, is enough to do what he intends it to do. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to fancy it up. We don't need to soften it down. We need to take and to go into this world with the specific message that Jesus gives us to carry, with full confidence that when somebody asks us, what he says is enough. That's why he said in 1 Peter that you're to be ready, let every man be ready to give an answer when somebody asks a reason of the hope that's in you. Where do I get my answer? From the words of Jesus. Oh, I feel this way. Oh, I think this. I'm going to tell you, folks, I hear too much of that today in the realm of Christianity. I hear people who try to explain it in terms of human emotions that somebody else might feel, and we leave off the power of the word of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have our feelings. It affects our feelings. But I'm going to tell you the one thing that we need to know is what those disciples knew. The message that Jesus said is enough to accomplish what he wants accomplished. And I don't have to look for an alternative way. So you see, folks, the first thing is for us to understand that, like that colt, we are here for the service of what the Lord needs, what his plan and purpose is. The second thing that I want you to see tonight is that what he says is sufficient. His word is sufficient for us to use in his church. His grace is sufficient for what we need in our life. His provision is sufficient for what we will need as we go about the task. Our trust in the King is that, A, he has the right to command. He has the wisdom to know what to command. And he has the power to bring it to pass. And then I want you to notice one final thing. The owner of the colt. When the owner of the colt, and we're specifically told that it was the owner of the colt who questioned these two men. It wasn't some police officer who happened to be walking by. It wasn't some city councilman who happened to be sitting in a window. It wasn't some group of neighbors that were wondering on a neighborhood watch what was going on. This was the owner. And he said, "Why are you loosing the animal?" the Lord hath need of it. And they took the animal. You know what that says? That said that at the word of Jesus, at the instruction of Jesus, the owner surrendered his right to the will of the king. Now I want to ask you tonight, folks, with our lives, when we feel Jesus working within our life, when his word gives us instruction, do we surrender our will to him? You see, the work of regeneration is a sovereign work. God doesn't ask us if we want to be made alive, because a dead man can't answer him anyway. He regenerates us as the wind bloweth where it will, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't see it. So is the everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. God in his own time and place and purpose quickens from death to life. He doesn't ask for men to agree to that. But what he also gives is to those of us who are brought from death to life, he gives instruction. He calls upon our life for his service. We're to make our sacrifice of thanksgiving. We're to make our sacrifice of praise. We are a royal priesthood to offer sacrifice. Sometimes that sacrifice involves our time and our effort and our energy at his direction. Folks, I want to ask you tonight, when the Lord sends direction and says, I have need of you, do you surrender your right to your vessel and to the authority of the king for his plan and purpose? Have you surrendered your walk into his care, knowing that his word is sufficient, knowing that his power is enough, knowing that his plan is wise? You see, it's wonderful that there was this great mass demonstration of joy and recognition of Jesus. But behind that scene, there were two men who were given a task to simply go and take some piece of possession that belonged to another man and say, the Lord needs this, and trust that the Lord knew what he was talking about when he sent them. I'll tell you tonight, folks, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Jesus said to his disciples as he was about to be received back into heaven, go ye into all the nations, baptizing, teaching, and the instructions that he gave. Go ye. Go ye. God may not send you into another country. God may not send you into some superhuman task. The real question that I would ask for you tonight is, whatever it is that Jesus calls you to do, are you willing to surrender yourself to him to do what he has created you for in that moment? Why are you loosing the animal? The Lord hath need of him. His word's enough. His wisdom is enough. His grace is enough. Tonight, brothers and sisters, I would ask you that as we go into this season that we know as Easter, as we think about all of the outward things that were done, I would ask you to think about yourself in light of these two disciples who were given instruction and who were willing to go, believing that what Jesus said was enough. Father, help us to place our trust in you. And help us to surrender ourselves to you, to Jesus Christ as our King, to go to do all that he would send us to do, and to do it fully believing that his word is enough. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.